Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Running.
Welcome! It's Eric Erickson here across America from WDBO in Orlando, Florida. Everyone around here is wearing mouse ears. I don't know why. Everyone in Orlando wears mouse ears. I have kidding, of course. The rat doesn't control everything down here, thanks to Ron DeSantis. Now, the phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, as always, you can text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. Get the show notes, the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Wakaiva Island going to be there tonight here in Orlando, meeting with listeners, having a good event. Welcome to show up. Go to the WDBO app to find out more. We've got to begin with the Ukraine situation. The Speaker of the House of the United States has decided to advance the legislation, angering friends of mine in the House Freedom Caucus, among others. This is the Speaker's statement. Let's see here.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that's different. But I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge.
That's Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. I think he's right on this. Conservatives are angry. They feel like he stabbed him in the back on some of his promises, and I get that. But I also get that there was coming down the pike a Senate legislation that Democrats were collecting enough signatures to be able to get it to the floor of the House. So Johnson jumped forward with the Republican proposal to short-circuit that over the complaints of House Freedom Caucus members of others and stopped the more expansive Democratic measure from coming to the floor. The votes, frankly, are there to fund Ukraine. And a majority of Americans, contrary to what you may have heard in some polling out there, actually do support it. In fact, to get to the polling that shows that Americans don't support this, you actually have to read, you've got to reinterpret the top line numbers from a lot of polls. Americans support it because they understand that we've got a lead and that Vladimir Putin is on the wrong side. Some of the very few people who really oppose it are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's, by the way, you should know, is putting forward a series of amendments, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that if you support the Ukraine funding, that you must then go join the Ukraine army. If you, as a member of Congress, is one of her amendment proposals, if you vote to fund Ukraine, you must go sign up to fight in Ukraine. I mean, the very reason we're doing this funding is to keep Americans from having to go. We're sending bullets, so we're not sending bodies. Marjorie Taylor Greene misses the subtlety there. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I'm not making this up, has proposed legislation as an amendment to the Israel funding that she wants to actually legitimately fund Jewish space lasers between Israel and Gaza. I thought it was, I literally, it's not April Fool's, I realize, but this has got to be a joke. Nope. Marjorie Taylor Greene proposing an amendment that our money that we will send to Israel to help them must go to fund Jewish space lasers. I thought she was concerned about the Jews having space laser technology. Now she wants to fund it? Next, it'll be Jewish mind control. Oh, these are not serious people. The speaker is one of the few serious people going here. I want to take a more expansive view of this for you, because let's understand how much of this operates. Ukraine, yes. Is it a kleptocracy? Oh, there's a lot of graft, there's a lot of greed, there's a lot of corruption. It needs to be cleaned up. Zelensky has been firing people in Ukraine. It's funny, they're calling him the kleptocrat. Actually, he's been firing a lot of people in the government that he's found were profiteering off the war in Ukraine. He's lost some actually pretty good strategic minds because they were also corrupt as all get out, and he wanted to get rid of them to try to re-earn the trust of Republicans in Congress. But the reality is this. Speaker Johnson believes the intelligence. You can say the CIA is misrepresenting this for their own interests, because the CIA, you know, I hear now the neocon agenda and the warmonger agenda and stuff. It's a pejorative of people who I don't want to continue leading the world. So I'm going to slur anyone who wants to continue leading the world. I'm an isolationist, and it's easy for the isolationists to be isolationist and say come home, because they know they're not going to win, so they can stand up and be contrarian knowing they're going to lose. But also, they totally ignore the fact that we have earned a massive dividend on the world stage by being the leader of the world. By being in the position that we are in the United States of America, we pay lower interest rates, we suffer lower inflation rates, we get more favorable exchange rates. All of these things benefit you. What the people who want to get off the world stage actually want is for you to pay higher prices. There's really no difference between them and the climate change people. It becomes horseshoe theory. The climate change people want us to pay to get off the world stage, stop leading the world, because we're bad for carbon, we're bad for pollution, and we should pay a higher price. Everything we do should pay a higher price, and that'll discourage us from spending. What the isolationists want is the exact same thing, not for the climate change agenda, but because they think that it will actually save us money. Now, at least the climate people are honest and accurate. If we get off the world stage, we're going to pay a higher price. The isolationists would have you believe if we got off the world stage, nothing would change. Actually, a lot would change, because China would fill the void, and China would get the favorable exchange rates. China would get the favorable interest rates. China would be able to suffer inflation less than us. However, because China's communist, its rates would be higher, which means our rates would be even higher than if, let's say, it was, God forbid, France or someone like that leading the world. At least the French, though socialists, still have capitalism in place, unlike the commies from China. We benefit by leading. You can call it American imperialism if you want to be a woke and talk about it as colonialism. It's funny to me, the right-wing wokes who talk about imperialism and colonialism, they do the same thing as the left. It is horseshoe theory. They're on the same side, betting against America. They want your costs higher. They want your way of life to come down. And a lot of it is, you know, like the religious fundamentalists who believe that they're so sinful that they should punish themselves. A lot of the right-wing wokes have decided America is actually bad these days because of abortion and gay rights and transgenderism, and we should be punishing ourselves. And so they want us to come off the world stage because they want self-inflicted wounds against us, because they actually believe that we are a sin people deserving of punishment, and for some reason God hasn't punished us, so we're going to punish ourselves. We're going to get off the world stage. We're going to pull all of our people home. We're not going to back our allies. We're going to break our treaties and our relationships, and then we're going to see higher interest rates. We're going to see higher exchange rates. We're going to see higher inflation rates. We're going to see higher unemployment. We're going to see higher costs, and it's a good thing because we deserve it. We deserve the bad stuff. It's a shame in my mind to see members of the conservative movement become the Bet Against America crowd. By sending money to Ukraine, we fund the modernization of the American military. Because what we do is Ukraine buys from us our old surplus equipment, and we take the money at the company sending them the old surplus equipment, and we develop the modern equipment. Very little of our money goes to prop up Ukrainian salaries and things like that. In fact, most of the money under the new package doesn't do that at all. Most of the money in the new package comes as loans to Ukraine that the Europeans guarantee. That money then comes back into American industry, and we send them weapons and upgrade our own. It actually helps industries, particularly in the South, where we've got a lot of weapons manufacturers. But God forbid we talk about it honestly that way. Would you rather your children at some point, this axis of evil between Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, and the mullahs of Iran will play out more aggressively if we're not willing to stand on the world stage and fight back? They know right now the reason they're doing this is there are far left and far right activists in this country who have turned into isolationists who want to get us off the world stage, and they're doing everything they can to push them to victory so that we cede the world stage. They can't beat us. Iran threw its best technology at Israel. And we and the Israelis, the Saudis, the Jordanians were able to wipe out 99% of it. The Russians have sent their best technology to Ukraine, and the Ukrainians were able to hold them back until they ran out of our weapons. They need more to hold them back. Our technology, our weaponry, our systems are still better than theirs, and they know that. So what they've done is they've, through psychology, through propaganda, through twisting people's minds, through third parties, they've been able to make parts of the right and parts of the left become isolationists, knowing that they can't beat us, but if we will retreat from the world stage, they can take it over. So much of what you're hearing from voices on the left and the right demanding we not help Ukraine, demanding we not help Taiwan, demanding we not help Israel, is ultimately, at the end of the day, if you follow the chain out designed in Beijing, Tehran, and Moscow as ideas to seed into the movements of the American political class to convince you to get off the world stage so that they can take it over because they know they can't beat us. And Americans are falling for the propaganda campaign. Members of the conservative movement have embraced this isolationist thinking, retreating from the world stage, not helping Ukraine. We will get dragged into a greater war. The question for Americans who don't want to fund Ukraine or Taiwan or Israel is, do you want your sons and daughters to die? I would rather fund these countries than send our kids. And for those of you who think we wouldn't, if you go back to the history of World War I and the history of World War II, the isolationists were convinced we would never get involved in those wars, that our sons and daughters would not die, and ultimately our sons and daughters had to go rescue everyone else, and our sons and daughters died. And here we come again, the same people making the same arguments that they made before World War I and World War II of keep us off the world stage. And when it worked and they were able to restrain us, we got the world war. If the United States does not retreat, if the United States does not come home, if the United States does not go inward, if the United States does not embrace isolationism, we avoid World War III. All of these people want that war to come, and so many of them on the left and the right these days have this morbid thinking that we get it because we deserve it, because we are bad, we need to be punished, we need to be woken up. I would prefer to avoid World War III and the hell that would come to the United States because of it. But I'm surrounded with a bunch of people on the left and the right who've decided we're bad. The left because we're capitalist, free market, superior. The right because cultural wokeism in America needs to be driven out, and the only way to do it is for it to burn. The only way to burn is for us to be isolationist and let war come to us. I say American imperialism is a good thing. I say America leading the world is a good thing. I say America leading the world against an axis of evil is a good thing. I say America leading the world and designing the structure of it so that we fund the arms for other people to fight the bad guys so our kids don't have to is a good thing. Your mileage may vary on that, but you would be wrong.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I am happy to have you. Now, I got to tell you, there are two breaking news items happening now that you need to know about. One is home sales have posted their biggest decline in more than a year, reversing course after a positive start to the year. Both these from the Wall Street Journal. And now this, the 30-year mortgage rate has jumped by nearly a quarter point to 7.1%, the highest level this year. Concurrent to all of that, this morning, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York has said he feels no urgency to cut U.S. interest rates as inflation remains above the 2% target. Quote, monetary policy is in a good place. I think we've got interest rates in a place that is moving us gradually to our goal, says John Williams, president and CEO of the New York Fed. He said economic data will inform future policy. Now, all of that being said, the Dow had been up well over 200 points, is now still up 182 points, NASDAQ up over 52, S&P 500 up 15. But since those remarks came out, there's been a downward trend today. But I do think most people are now baking into the conclusion that we're not going to see interest rates move up. Or we're not going to see interest rates go down, rather. We're going to see them either hold or, you know, Larry Summers is still urging them to go up. Now, concurrent to all this, you got all these people who have great interest rates. Like, I mean, my interest rate on my mortgage for my house is low, like real, real low, like under 2%. And why would I want to sell my house right now if interest rates are at 7.1% on average? To go find a new house? What? No, there's no way. So that now makes it harder for new home buyers to come in. It makes it more expensive for new home buyers to come in. This is a situation like the 1970s and, frankly, the early 80s when Reagan got in and he and Paul Volcker jacked up interest rates even higher to cut off inflation. It makes it very difficult for people starting out in life to get new homes. It takes people out of the housing market and turns them into renters, deprives them of the American dream. This is Bidenomics at work. This is the reality of Bidenomics, and progressive economists warned them this would happen, and they rejected people like Larry Summers and said, no, this is new monetary thinking. It's not going to cause inflation, and they were wrong. And they tried to claim Bidenomics was good, and it's not. Americans for Prosperity, in fact, has the Bidenomics.com website. You guys should go check it out. They bought Bidenomics.com because they wanted to expose Joe Biden's record. They wanted to be able to show people that the things that Joe Biden says do not actually align with the truth of the economy, not your truth or my truth, but the actual truth of the economy. So they created Bidenomics.com. You can go see Joe Biden's quotes, what he says about the economy, how much he's paid down the debt, how much he stimulated work and all this sort of stuff, and then you can see the actual facts. Like, he claims he created all sorts of jobs. Actually, what happened is people came back into the workforce after COVID when they couldn't work, and he's claiming those as jobs created. All this is documented. It's the facts, not the emotion. The facts at Bidenomics.com, brought to you by Americans for Prosperity, the grassroots leader in this country for the conservative movement. Americans for Prosperity goes into the states doing the work of the conservative movement. They're a do tank, not a think tank. You can find out more at Bidenomics.com and start a relationship with Americans for Prosperity today.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Broadcasting from our affiliate, WDBO, in Orlando, Florida. I get to hang out with listeners tonight at Wekiva Island. They made sure I pronounced it correctly so that I sound local. I do have family in the area. My dad's from down here. Well, he's from Coral Gables. But my Uncle Leif lives in Winter Park. Now, I want to take your phone calls. We begin with Mario, who happens to be listening on WDBO. Mario, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. If in this scenario where Trump was to regain the White House and the Republicans were to reclaim the Senate, can they then reintroduce legislation for impeachment or impeachment proceedings against Mayorkas in that scenario? Because Schumer has done absolutely nothing, not even up for debate.
Okay, so if Trump wins the White House, Mayorkas is out of a job, and it's a new Congress. So they would have to re-impeach him in the House, but he would already not be in the job once Trump got there. So I don't know that they would bother to. They technically and in theory can do it, but I don't think they would. Once he's gone, he's gone. That makes sense?
Okay, because yeah, unfortunately it does, because it's a shame that they haven't pursued it, because high crimes and misdemeanors is what Mayorkas is all about. But thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, absolutely, Mario. Yeah, I mean, once Biden's out of office with Trump back, yes, Mayorkas is out of job too. In theory, it's never actually been done, but in theory, you can impeach someone who has been in office even after they're out of office to prevent them from ever being able to get back into office, but it's never been done, and I don't think they would try it. I don't think they would. Now, back to the phones. Jason, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Your comments earlier about Marjorie Taylor Greene, two things is, one, I think she, like many other conservatives in the Republican Party, she doesn't want to fund Ukraine unless our border is funded first. And secondly, you know, in my circle anyway, we all know that the Democrats are sending money to Ukraine just to launder it back, kind of like the FTX scandal, to fund NGOs to get illegal immigrants into the country.
Wait, say that part again. What about we're about funding? What's this? You lost me.
Well, the funding for Ukraine, they launder it back to the Democrat Party, and which the Democrat Party in turn funds these NGOs that facilitate getting illegal immigrants into the country, kind of like the FTX, you know, the Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh yeah, yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried funding all the Democrats. Yeah, I'm not aware of any of the evidence of Ukraine funding the NGOs. You're right, the Democratic Party absolutely funds the NGOs. I just haven't seen the documentation on Ukraine funding the NGOs. I've seen the documentation on where Ukraine funds the money, and most of it goes to groups like Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and things like that to buy weapons. I haven't seen them funding NGOs. I do support an inspector general because of something like that, and I do think we should fund the American border. I think we should be doing both. But I would disagree with you on the characterization of Marjorie Taylor Greene, because Marjorie Taylor Greene has opposed funding Ukraine since the war started. I mean, here's the headline from 2022. Marjorie Taylor Greene said Thursday Ukraine will not receive any more funding if Republicans retake control of Congress in the upcoming midterm elections. Quote, under Republicans, not another penny will go to Ukraine. That's from 2022. In 2023, quote, Ukraine is not the 51st state. Marjorie Taylor Greene says, quote, the United States needs to be pushing for peace in Ukraine, not funding a proxy war with Russia. Ukraine is not the 51st state. That's 2023. So, I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene has consistently, going back to 2022, opposed funding Ukraine. She's never wanted to fund it. She was one of the very few Republicans back in 2022 to oppose, even after the war started. She vehemently opposed giving Ukraine anything. It had nothing to do with the border. She claimed it was an American first policy, but Marjorie Taylor Greene just kind of on the side of Vladimir Putin pretty consistently in her positions. You know, I don't even think Donald Trump is on the side of Vladimir Putin like the left claims, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, decides that she's got to stake out positions like that to be the cool kid for the alt-right crowd because it gets her money. I got no use for the woman. All right, we got to move on to other stuff. 877-973-7425. Speaking of the Russians, a hacking group with ties to the Russian government is suspected of carrying out a cyber attack in January that caused a tank at a Texas water facility to overflow. Experts from Mandiant, a U.S. cybersecurity firm, said Wednesday. The hack in the small town of Muleshoe in North Texas coincides with at least two other towns in North Texas taking precautionary defensive measures after detecting suspicious cyber activity on their networks, town officials told CNN. The FBI has been investigating the hacking activity, one of the officials said. The attack was a rare example of hackers using access to sensitive industrial equipment to disrupt regular operations at a U.S. water facility following a separate cyber attack last November on a Pennsylvania water plant that U.S. officials blamed on Iran. The cyber incidents in Texas also help explain a rare public appeal that U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan made last month to state officials and water authorities to shore up their cyber defenses. Cyber attacks are hitting water and wastewater systems throughout the United States, and state governments and water facilities must improve their defenses against the threat, Sullivan said in a joint letter with the EPA. U.S. officials have been concerned that as many as the country's 150,000 public water systems have struggled to find cash and personnel to deal with persistent hacking threats from criminal and state actors. Now, you will recall there was a story a while back about a Vermont power plant that Russian or North Korean, and I think they blamed Russians at the time, hackers, had subverted. Turns out that story wasn't true. Had this story come out and been fresh, I would have been hesitant to give it to you, but this is from January. And it's not just an outside PR firm pushing this, trying to get contracts. It actually is the government now saying this thing did happen in January, and they do tie it to Russian hackers. I know people in a lot of companies, and those companies have been hacked by Russian hackers in the past several months, and Eastern European hackers. This is becoming a phenomenon. In fact, major insurance companies are now offering insurance in case of hacking. It's become an insurance policy thing. The problem here is we might be too online as a nation. It has provided efficiencies for us to put waste treatment and water facilities online to reduce the number of physical personnel needed in locations when the computers can monitor things and send you alerts so you can reduce the number of people and then drive down costs and save money and provide efficiencies. We're reaching the point, though, where we've become so efficient with this stuff that we've become more vulnerable. Efficiencies have given us vulnerabilities. We don't need everything tied to the internet. Like, for example, in my house, I have lights that are connected through the internet. I can turn on and off on my phone wherever I am in the world. They have certain programming. They know if I'm close to the house, certain lights come on at night. If they're off so that I can see when I get in, and then they turn off after a few minutes. It's very convenient. And I use a system through Apple that's actually pretty secure, so it minimizes hacking just given the setup. But there are a lot of these Internet of Things systems that are quite easily hackable. And if I didn't use this system, I probably wouldn't use the system because some of these systems are so vulnerable. But at some point, the trend became that everything needed to be on the internet. Like I got a pellet ice machine, one of those GE Nugget ice machines. Bought it for my wife. We had an old ice maker. It broke. We were without it for a while, so now I got this one. It's Wi-Fi ready. I've never used the Wi-Fi with this. I don't understand the Wi-Fi. It makes it more expensive. It adds components I don't need. It drives up the price. And for some reason, they try to sell, it's got the Internet of Things in it. You can control it with the internet. Why do I need to control an ice maker or a garbage disposal or even a refrigerator or a washer or dryer with my phone? Why does it need to be connected to the internet? But there are people out there who said, hey, we can make a fancy washing machine. We're going to connect it to the internet. Well, you know what you've done? You've allowed the Russians to control your wash-dry cycle. There's no reason to connect everything to the internet. There's no reason to connect all of these utilities to the internet except you want to save on employees by connecting everything to one mass portal for monitoring. And the problem is that's made us very vulnerable as a country. Perhaps some inefficiencies in the system are a good thing. I like efficiencies. I was having this conversation with Charlie earlier. You know, when you talk to people in the South, you tend to get these long conversations. They shortcut them with things like y'all instead of you all. Because otherwise, the conversation would be even longer. More syllables, more words, more Southern speak. It goes slow. Yanked. As opposed to saying, you are not or you ain't. Yank. Yank gonna do that, y'all. I mean, it's a long conversation, but it would be even longer because they don't say, yank gonna do that, y'all. They say, yank gonna do that, y'all, which is a long, drawn-out, inefficient conversation, but you throw in the efficiency of Southern slang to make it go faster. There's some level of efficiency built into slow Southernism to speed it up. But when you get too efficient, you sound like you got a corn cob up your butt in proper English, and it's, when it comes to technology, extremely hackable by the Russians and the North Koreans and the Chinese and the Iranians. We don't necessarily need everything on the internet. We need to start rethinking this. It makes us vulnerable. Our power grid, waste treatment facilities, water management facilities. They're gonna overchlorinate our water. They're gonna put too much fluoride in the water. They're gonna fly the chemtrails and pump the chemtrails into the fluoride in the water, and it's going to control your brain. It's amazing what the hackers can do. I just think we need to build more inefficiencies into some of these systems that are deeply vulnerable. And now, of course, we got, I don't know if y'all saw this, Brett Baer highlighted this on Fox News. The federal government confirms more than 1 million Chinese gotaways last year in the United States. More than 1 million, they estimate, because they don't know for sure. More than 1 million Chinese illegal alien men escaped into the United States in the last year or so. We got problems on our hands. And, you know, we can build efficiency inefficiencies into internet-connected systems. But, you know, if you're actually at the substation with Tannerite to blow something up, well, no efficiency is going to help you. Things we got to keep in mind. Now, I want you to keep in mind Old Glory Bank is doing something different. Instead of becoming publicly traded, they're looking for accredited investors. If you want to find out about owning interest in Old Glory Bank, you can go to own.oldglorybank.com. And you can find out accredited investors only. This is not FDIC insured. Your investment may go down. All the legal language you need to know. But also, you get a bank account with Old Glory Bank. I've got one. It's great. I actually had to transfer some money the other day from my Old Glory Bank account into the other checking account we have. And they did it so quickly. I didn't have to wire the money. It just works with everything. I had a bank for a while. It'll go nameless. And it can take 2 to 3 days to move from one account to another. 24 hours, Old Glory Bank. I mean, it was quick. Did it yesterday afternoon, was in the account this morning. They're so efficient. They play well with so many systems. They're such a great, innovative bank, and they're not going to cancel you. I don't know if you saw this. John Eastman, President Trump's lawyer, USAA and Bank of America, I think, were the banks that have canceled his bank accounts. Old Glory Bank will never cancel your bank accounts. They don't care about your politics. They don't care who you do business with. As long as they're legal transactions, they're not going to prohibit you from doing them. They're never going to debank you. That's why Old Glory Bank is my bank. I have been a consumer of Old Glory Banks since they started. OldGloryBank.com, 15 or 8 minutes or less, you can get an account with them. If you're interested as an accredited investor in buying into Old Glory Bank, you can go to own.oldglorybank.com. That interest, not FDIC insured, price may go up, price may go down. For those of you who get an account with Old Glory Bank, they are a member FDIC and an equal housing lender, and terms and conditions apply.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Oh my. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you are a business buying a building, you can go to firstlibertyga.com and you can reach out to them and see if they can help you. If you're buying a building, building a building, buying a franchise, buying out a business competitor, buying out a business partner, you need $250,000 or more. Those are the deals they specialize in. firstlibertyga.com. Tell them I sent you. Now, I want to take a phone call here. I would like to go to Mike. You are up next, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Look at Alvin Bragg, that case there, and it's so ridiculous on its face. I'm just wondering how there's no accountability.
Oh, because at the end of the day, in elected positions like that, it's the voters who are responsible, and the voters get to elect him, and he's given the voters what they want, because New York voters hate Trump, so he's wasting taxpayer dollars. God forbid he actually take on the gangbangers and the illegal alien murderers. He'd rather take on Donald Trump. But, I mean, this is a voter issue at the end of the day, honestly. New York City voters, I think, don't care. They are perfectly happy to waste their money on a show trial against Donald Trump that's probably going to get thrown out on appeal if not rejected by a jury.
It just seems like there ought to be some sort of legal mechanism to deal with that.
There should be. I don't disagree with you. There should be. There just isn't. He has prosecutorial discretion to do this. And because he's got prosecutorial discretion, he can get away with it. And unless the voters decide they've had enough of it, there's really nothing you or I can do in a situation like this. He's elected by the people of the city of New York. The people of the city of New York want to waste their money trying to get Donald Trump in jail. So they'll waste their money and be robbed, assaulted, harassed, beaten up, murdered on the streets of New York by the gangbangers, the illegal aliens, the criminal element, while they're focusing all their energy on Donald Trump. They get the city that they voted for. And they voted for this stuff. By the way, I got to tell you, the ongoing media commentary on this trial, it really is like the daily soap opera. When I was a kid, my grandmother would watch Young and the Restless and General Hospital with her best friend, Sybil Woodside. They would be, you know, the old Ma Bell rotary dial black telephones. My grandmother had one. She ultimately got up to one of the black digital push-button ones. But she and Miss Sybil would be on the phone with each other all afternoon, back-to-back, watching their soap operas. And I was the remote control. Yes, friends, back in the day, you had to send your child up to the television to change the channel, and that child was the remote control. I was. So she and Miss Sybil could get the play-by-play on what was happening with Victor Newman, who my grandmother more than once put on the prayer list at church. But nonetheless, the way the media is treating this Trump trial in New York City is a soap opera. It is absolutely a soap opera. They want to give you the play-by-play of who was there, who made side eye. Did Trump yawn? Did he scowl? Did the judge scowl? What about the jurors? And you know, the media is blaming Fox News today. Juror number two has been recused because she feels like her life could be threatened because of exposure. And the media's like, aha, Fox News ran a story about this woman exposing her. Turns out NBC ran a story about her. The Washington Post ran a story about her. Every major media network ran a post about this woman, where she lived, not using her name, but her demographics, where she lived, what she did for a living, all this sort of stuff. They did a big story on it. She's been recused. And all these people in the media are like, oh, it was Fox News that did it. No, actually, it was NBC and the Washington Post that did it before Fox News. Guess who NBC and the Washington Post are blaming? It's all a soap opera. They don't really care about the truth, anything like that. It's just what they do. Eric Erickson here. We'll be right back with a WNBA scandal.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.